Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
For our time of catechesis this morning, we are switching from the confession and absolution section of the six chief parts to the sacrament of the altar. So we're still on page 326 for that first question under the sacrament of the altar. What is the sacrament of the altar?
It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and the wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink.
Yes, and so there's a lot of stuff packed into just that one simple statement. How many elements are there?
Two.
Three. Oh, four.
Well, three, two. Four.
I heard everything from two to five. There's four. Two that we say are visible, bread and wine, and two that we generally say are invisible, body and blood, right? But we are not Roman Catholics who believe that the bread and wine are turned into the body and blood in such a way that the bread and wine cease to exist. Nor are we Reformed who think that it's only bread and wine that represent or in some way spiritually commune with the Lord but are not actually his body and his blood. So four total elements, that's important. Also notice that it's Christ's supper, instituted by Christ himself. This is not our supper for us to do with as we see fit, but it is our Lord's supper, the holy supper that he instituted. And so we follow his institution, using bread and wine, unleavened bread, wheat bread or oat bread or barley bread, something that would have been used by the people of the Jews at the time for Passover meal, which is what Christ was observing when he instituted his supper. So we follow his command as his institution. Notice who the recipients are. For us Christians to eat and to drink, right? Not everybody. It's not like, hey, let's feed the homeless with the Lord's Supper. That's not the point. The point is for Christians to eat and to drink. And the purpose is to eat and to drink, not to parade about in a Corpus Christi festival, which was commonly done in Luther's day, where they would put the body of Christ in this thing called a monstrance, and then, you know, march it around town. Nor is it meant to be withheld, in a tabernacle on the altar and just displayed there for people to come in and worship. That's where the custom of the tabernacle lamp came from. That you would have this candle, often in a red case as we picture it. And when that candle was burning, you knew that there was reserved body of Christ in the tabernacle on the altar. And if the candle was out, you knew that there wasn't any reserved host in the tabernacle. And so that then gets associated with the eternal flame or the light of God's presence or something like that. In some Reformed way, it just symbolizes that God is always present with us. Well, no. I mean, it began with this idea that Christ was physically present in his body on the altar. And so that's, of all sorts of mixed use of both Roman Catholic and Reformed. And one of the reasons why the Board of Elders here opted not to have one when somebody offered to buy us one. So, all that just off of what is the sacrament of the altar. Any other questions, comments on that?
If you had that candle, would it not be burning if you weren't having communion by that?
Well, right. So presumably, if you were Roman Catholic, you would only have it lit when there was body of Christ in the tabernacle, right? Whether you're having the Lord's Supper that day or not is really beside the point. It's whether or not you have body of Christ in the tabernacle. And most churches who use it, like Lutheran churches that might use it, who aren't using it as a tabernacle lamp, but are using it as sort of the eternal flame or something like that, they would call it. Many of them keep it burning all the time, like all the time. So like if you go into church on Thursday to sweep the floor, the eternal flame is going, right? Again, a reminder that God is always present with you under that sort of understanding. I was always slightly amused when it was electric with the little fake flicker in it. And then when you turn the church lights off, the eternal flame went out. You know, and so that again sort of makes laughable this idea that it's an eternal flame when, you know, it goes out. Or congregations say, we don't want to burn it because all the time because it costs too much money. You know, we don't want to supply a candle for it all the time. And so we only want God's presence to be indicated when there are actually people there. You know, and so again, it sort of, it has this, all sorts of abuse and misuse. And so I think we're better off without it, personally. But did that answer that?
Yes.
Okay. Other comments, questions about any of that? And obviously, it's given, Christ's body and blood are given here for us to eat and to drink, to receive the forgiveness of sins. And that comes out in the sections of the small catechism that we'll be looking at in the weeks to come. All right, so the preparation for setting forward is on page 203. I invite you to turn there and please stand if you will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Look with you, there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness, and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I am the good shepherd.
I am the lamb, and I know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds.
From following the mercy news, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, with his inheritance.
With upright heart he shepherded them,
and guided them with his skillful hand.
But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever.
From generation to generation, we will recount your praise.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the good shepherd.
I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Lord, have
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. The appointed first reading is from the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ has risen from the dead.
God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has put all things under his feet.
The second reading, and also the text for today's sermon, is from the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice,
Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Death no longer has dominion over him.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me.
Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Remain standing, if you're able, for the singing of the hymn of the day, 540.
Truth that frees the
join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Today, the fourth Sunday of Easter on the church calendar, is also affectionately known as Good Shepherd Sunday, as on this Sunday, in each year of our three-year series of readings, we hear in the Gospel reading a portion of Jesus' teaching in John chapter 10 about himself as the Good Shepherd. And the other readings and such each year are also on that same theme. Today's second reading is no exception, with the elder's statement to St. John that the Lamb in the midst of the throne will shepherd those coming out of the Great Tribulation. In a special Sunday morning sermon series titled Resurrection and Revelation, Pastor Adler and I are focusing on our second readings drawn from Revelation this Easter season. And so today, the theme is the Lamb shepherds the sheep. Found nowhere else in at least the New Testament, the idea that any lamb is shepherding sheep brings to my mind English novelist George Orwell's satirical book, Animal Farm, in which a group of animals rebel against their human farmer, hoping to create a society where the animals can be equal, free, and happy. In the case of today's second reading, the lamb is said to be such an accepted predicate of the exalted Christ in the book of Revelation that there is no sense of incongruity in the books essentially calling the lamb the shepherd. Indeed, in today's second reading, as a whole, the lamb is mentioned a total of three other times, in close connection with presumably God the Father on the throne and as the Redeemer. This passage from Revelation is at least part of the first reading on All Saints' Day each year, and rightly so, as it beautifully pictures the church triumphant, either before or on the last day. The passage comes in Revelation as an interlude or parentheses between the Lamb's opening the sixth and seventh seals of the scroll that we heard about last week. And so the passage promises to us who are God's repentant and believing people security and deliverance among his judgment on the unrepentant and unbelieving world. Throughout the Bible, literal shepherds tending to literal sheep are an important part of the economy. Moving flocks around the dry ground, often far from home, in search of green pastures and still waters. So gods, kings, and other rulers were often figuratively referred to as shepherds of their various subjects as figurative sheep. Often, God, through his prophets, criticized those shepherds, as we today might criticize our rulers. To be sure, we are more willing to criticize our elected leaders and others who have authority and oversight over us than we are willing to criticize ourselves. For example, we're more likely to say that our president should do such and such than we are to say that we should or must much less actually pray more for him. We are more likely to say that our pastor should reach out more than we are to say, much less actually invite, someone we know to church. As God says through Isaiah, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Our sinful nature leads us to commit countless, sometimes unspeakable sins, for which sinful nature and sins we all deserve nothing but present and eternal punishment. But out of his great love, mercy, and grace for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, God the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, calls and so enables us to be sorry for our sin and to trust him to forgive our sin. Like the shepherd that he is, the Lord, as it were, whistles for and otherwise seeks us straying sheep. And when he finds us, he carries us home, rejoicing. In today's second reading, the innumerable multitude of saints, standing as if resurrected before the throne of God and before the Lamb, and presumably also before the Holy Spirit, who is closely associated with the throne and with the Lamb, those saints ascribe to God the saints' salvation. And myriads of angels, 24 elders, and four living creatures affirmed with their amen that ascription of the saints' salvation to God. The Son of God in human flesh, who descended from a line of shepherds, whose birth was announced to shepherds, and whose suffering and death as the good shepherd in order to change the sheep was long prophesied, truly is the Lamb of God, who once was slain on the cross for the sin of the world, but who on the third day was resurrected, and so stands again and is rightly praised for our redemption. As we will sing in the third distribution hymn, for the sheep, the Lamb has bled, sinless in the sinner's stead. God, through Ezekiel, promised that the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, would be a descendant of David, who would shepherd and feed his flock. And in today's gospel reading, Jesus essentially told the Jewish leaders that the works that he did in his Father's name bore witness to his being the Christ. But they did not believe. When we repent and believe, then God forgives us. God forgives our sinful nature and all our actual sin, whatever our actual sin might be. God forgives us through the ministry of his word and sacraments. For example, in today's first reading, St. Paul commands the pastors of Ephesus to continue paying careful attention to themselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit gave them oversight, shepherding the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And those pastors, which term comes from the Latin word for shepherd, so shepherd the church by doing such things as reading and preaching the word of God and individually absolving those who privately confess to them their sins. In the second reading, those in that church are seen clothed in white robes, washed, as it were, in holy baptism, a spring of living water. And there, at the baptismal font, called by name. As we hear our Good Shepherd's voice and follow him, he feeds us, not in literal green pastures, but on the figurative green pasture of bread that is his own body. And he gives us to drink, not of literal still waters, but of figurative still waters, of wine that is his blood. And so in his Holy Supper, he gives us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. On this day that society observes as Mother's Day, we thank God for all those who have been a mother to us in various ways. And we are reminded by Holy Scripture that the sheep with young are singled out by the Good Shepherd for gentle leading. In this life, we all have great tribulation, including such things as bad elected leaders, fierce wolves in the flock of the church on earth, and physical or mental illness. But as we hear our Good Shepherd's voice and follow him, he brings us through such afflictions, whatever they might be. Ultimately, as we heard Jesus say in the gospel reading, no one will or even is able to snatch us out of our Good Shepherd's hand or arm. As we plead with the psalmist, he is our shepherd and carries us. We have eternal peace and joy already now. And in the end, our Palm Sunday cries of Hosanna or save us with the same victory palm branches turn into cries of Alleluia or praise the Lord or even Amen. Whether or not we are buried with a palm branch, and whether or not we are even buried, we who repent and believe will stand resurrected before the triune God, continuously worshiping him for eternity, fully freed from every evil. In Animal Farm, the group of animals that rebelled against their human farmer hoped to create a better society. But under the dictatorship of a pig named Napoleon, they ended up worse off than they were before. But when the lamb shepherds the sheep, we end up far better than we were before. God freely forgives us who repent and believe for the sake of his Son, the lamb who was slain, but who stands again and so shepherds his sheep. So whether we consider today Mother's Day, the fourth Sunday of Easter, or Good Shepherd Sunday, as we sang in today's intro, it, we, his people, the sheep of his pasture, give thanks to him forever. From generation to generation, we recount his praise. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Good Shepherd, we thank and praise you that you laid down your life for your sheep and took it back up again. Continue to send your Holy Spirit through the ministry of your word and sacraments that we repent and believe, faithfully receive your forgiveness, do the good works of your commandments, and are preserved in repentance and faith unto eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Good Shepherd, you are the one shepherd, and you want there to be one flock of your church on earth. Unite in right teaching and practice the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, pastors and people together. Call pastoral candidates and fill pastoral vacancies. Work through the Lutheran Missionary Alliance to plant more confessional and liturgical congregations in Texas. And for this congregation, return absent members, prosper our Sunday school, and increase our offerings from your gifts to us to be more than sufficient for the work of your kingdom in this place. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Good Shepherd, you call us your sheep by name in holy baptism and lead us out. Help us to know your voice and follow you. Strengthen us against every temptation, including those temptations to sexual sin and to despair. And when we succumb to any temptation, lead us to repent and forgive us even our besetting sins. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Good Shepherd, you came to seek and to save that which was lost. Use us to reach those you place in our lives, who have strayed from the faith and who have never believed, that they too may worship you now and forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Good Shepherd, you promise that one day the sun will not strike your saints, nor any scorching heat. According to your will, grant seasonable weather now, and rescue, relieve, and restore to those affected by drought, wildfires and their smoke, flooding, tornadoes, earthquakes, and volcanoes. Lord, in your mercy. Good Shepherd, you institute all governing authorities. According to your will, grant peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country. Protect non-combatants in war zones. Direct those who govern us on every level of government. Make all people good citizens, and protect, uphold, and grant discernment to all those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments. Lord, in your mercy. Good Shepherd, you guide your flock from place to place. Guide Brady, Jason, Charles, and all who travel, whether for work or for pleasure, or by land, sea, or air. Make their way safe and their homecomings joyful. Lord, in your mercy. Good Shepherd, you promise one day to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Comfort those who mourn. Help victims of violent crime to feel safe again. Grant hope and patience to those imprisoned and their families. By your word and sacraments, be present with those who are shut in and otherwise homebound. In your time and way, deliver from their afflictions David, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Gwen, Bob, Michelle, Jim, BJ, Ann, and all those in need of healing. And to that end, grant all necessary wisdom and skill to those who serve in medical professions. Lord, in your mercy. Good Shepherd, you gently lead those that are with young. We thank and praise you for our mothers. Bless them in their callings. Sustain them through weary and difficult times. Remember in compassion all who have lost children in their pregnancies or who have never had children, and bring them comfort through the children of your church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Good Shepherd, you gather the lambs in your arms and carry them in your bosom. Bring all expectant mothers and their children safely to delivery. Provide for the spiritual and material needs of all families. Make us better defenders of your gift of human life against society's threats of legalized abortion and assisted suicide. Help all your people, especially those without spouses or children, to be content in their circumstances. And bless all schooling, those who teach, those who learn, and those who support them. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna to the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death, he has redeemed us from bondage to sin and death, and by his resurrection, he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation, until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. Jesus Christ, true.
shed for you on that. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. Drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Shed for you.
Amen.
This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Amen. Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen. Sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit,
that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Church on a Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. Any other announcements? Seeing none, we'll put Luke on the spot and ask him how the tournament went.
We were runner-up. We ETDU beat us 9-8. Last game, maybe twice, we lost the first one.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So, is that it then? Season's over. Where did you finish with the batting?
320, maybe.
Yeah. Probably better than most of us would bat against Kyle Fisher. So. And behind the guy who was ahead of you all season on your team. Yeah. Well, you know. Being second is still all right. So. Mom and I watched the Razorbacks lose a horrible game to LSU.